1. These words are worth reading again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is God's word, and may he bless that to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, death makes life profoundly unsafe. Death makes life dangerous. Suffering and death are what frighten people into sounding alarms, running for safety and going into lockdown mode. We're looking for safety from the plague. Well, Psalm 91 tells us there is a place to run for safety, which is so good and strong and secure that the plague can't come near you. Earthly forms of safety, lockdown, sounding alarms, taking precautions are important, but they're not eternally secure, are they? There's a place of safety, eternal security, that puts you out of reach from danger, however. And isn't that the place that you're looking for? And that's what we want to see in Psalm 91. The plague can't come near you when you're in this safe place. Let's look first at the place of safety in verses 1 through 4, then the power of this safety, verses 5 through 13, and then the promise of safety, wonderful promises in verses 14 through 16. The place of safety, where you're out of reach from all danger, there is one. There is one right now. It's God and God alone. And that's what verse 1 is saying in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow, or in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter, that word means cover. It's a place of cover. And if you live under God's cover, the cover of Elyon, it says, the Most High, the one who's elevated above the fray. Revelation pictures his throne as sitting on a quiet sea, clear as crystal. There's no ripples up there where God is. No interruptions, no invasions, no problems. And if you live under the cover of that Elyon, Most High God, who's above the fray and living above the dangers, then, says verse 1, you abide, you lodge, you stay in the Almighty shadow. The word for Almighty there is Shaddai. Shaddai, the Almighty God. You're under the shadow of Almighty God. Now, if you live in my shadow, that's not a lot of protection. I'm fairly large, but it's still not a lot of protection. But if you live under the shadow of the Almighty God, the picture here is really the shadow of his wings as an almighty eagle who covers you with his feathers. His great wingspan is always over you, never lets you out of his shade. If you dwell in God, live in God, then you're under that shadow. An eagle senses the approach of a predator or the threat of something falling from above, and instinctively spreads out its wings like a canopy and then the little birds scuttle underneath for shelter. The point is that God is our shelter when the winds begin to howl. And under his wings, we're defended, we're protected, and we're perfectly safe. The whole point is, with God, somebody else is in charge of your life, because you've discovered that you cannot save your own life. He is someone big, strong, experienced. He never goes off duty. He never slumbers or sleeps. And that great safety of God leads the psalmist in a very personal confession about God in verses 2, 3, and 4. I will say to the Lord, and he's encouraging everybody to make this confession of God in faith. My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He's a shelter for me. He's a fortress, castle. He's a castle for me. I trust in him. Why? Verses 3 and 4. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And somebody is out to trap and destroy you. He'll deliver you. And from the deadly pestilence. Pestilence is a disease or a plague, a pandemic or an epidemic. It stalks the globe quickly and causes people to drop like flies. He covers you. And then he shields you with his faithfulness. A faithfulness that never leaves you or forsakes you. Wow. That's the safe place we need. He's the ultimate safety I need for my life and the whole world needs. And he's showing us right now in these days that retirement savings, stock portfolios are not an unbreakably safe place. Health, wealth, and power are not unconquerable, invincible. Today, the world, even its most powerful people, shakes and shudders and teeters before an invisible virus. Because the best of men is man at best. We're flesh, we're weak, we're not invincible. All our plans can crumble in a day and come to nothing. But there's somebody out of this world, who at the same time lives in this world, who is above all that. He's unchanging, he's eternal, unbreakable, unconquerable, almighty, and also loving and merciful, and opens a door of safety. And he calls to all, come here, come inside where it's safe. Come to me. He sent Jesus to earth to call us to come to him for safety. I will guarantee your security, said Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He guaranteed that by taking on his own shoulders the dangers, the defeat, the death, the destruction that we deserve. I'll take that, he said, and I'll give you my life. Jesus is the guarantee of that place of safety. He has opened the door to us to live with God. There's a song called Under His Wings, and I'll just read it for a moment. It goes like this. My way was filled with danger, and I felt so alone. The enemy had singled me out to do wrong. And when he drew near, my heart filled with fear, then I heard someone dear calling me to his side, and I ran under his wings. There he covered me, and now I can see. The enemy still looks for me, but what he can't see is that I'm under my Lord's wings, under his wing. The thunder rolled, dark clouds hung low. I was out in a storm. I was shivering in the coldest night. No safe retreat from harm. And there blew strong winds. Would this be my end? And then I heard my friend calling me to his side. And I ran under his wings. There he covered me. And now I can see the storm still rages. Oh, but in the rock of ages, we're resting warmly here under our Lord's wings. Under his wings. Under his wings. Who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. He's the place of safety. But then when you read verses 5 through 13, you see the power, the invincibility, the comprehensiveness of this safety. Look at verses 5 and 6. There is so much danger out there. Terrors by day, arrows by night, pestilence in darkness, destruction at noon. And that involves everything. That's a way of referring to all the dangers possible. Dangers of all kinds, whether visible things like war, violence, disasters, or invisible things like viruses and bacteria. They come at all times, night or noonday, it says. They don't wait for your permission. They don't ask if we're all ready. They just come. They attack, they surprise, and they destroy whenever, however, whomever they can. That's their business, the business of dangers. And I don't know what's all been attacking your life in this world. Maybe it's not the virus. I don't know what dangers you face personally, but I do know that they come in many shapes and sizes. And I do know that these dangers do not sit idle. They keep working to destroy us. Some of you face extremely heavy dangers. Others less so, or at least less obviously so. But dangers are a fact of life, congregation, deadly dangers, and they're stalking us. They're letting loose on us. And the coronavirus is just another stark and frightening reminder of what happens all the time in every age. And above all, the evil one, Satan himself, is after us to destroy us, the most evil virus there is. And believers are not excluded, regardless of what the word of faith or the false teachers are saying today. Believers are not excluded from these dangers. Paul says in Romans 8, Lord, for your sake, we face dangers all day long. We are being killed all day long. We face tribulation and distress and persecution and famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. You might be convinced that the assault, the terror you face in your life is so deep and dark and devastating, there's no safe place for you, that you are unrescuable. You are trapped, you're dead meat, as it were. But you need to know that no matter what is the danger that you face, there is a safe place in God who can actually and will actually put you out of reach of the danger when you come to him. That's what he says in verses 7 through 10 in Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. And that may look too good to be true, but it is true when seen from the right point of view. If you view it like the false teachers do in the church, they say it's a guarantee that if you have enough faith, the coronavirus, cancer, whatever it is, will not invade your body. It will not enter your home. If it does, that's because you don't have enough faith. You're not trusting in God. But if you have enough faith, you can stay free of cancer and hunger and disease and financial troubles. That's a lie. If you view these promises, it can't come near you. To say that in your life here on earth, you'll never have troubles, the troubles can never hit you and make you suffer and kill you, then I would ask you, whom is the psalm addressing? Whom is it written for? It's written for people in trouble, people who need safety. That's why Paul says, Lord, for your sake, we face dangers all day long. We're being killed all day long. But God's point here in Psalm 91, as I mentioned a couple of days ago, is that whatever danger you face, dear brother, dear sister, dear believer, it can't take from you the life that is truly life, the life that you have in God, your shelter. It can't take anything away from you that you have in God. Nothing. It's not a life made of mansions and Mercedes. That's not the life Psalm 91's talking about. That can be taken away and fast. No, it can't touch the life that you have with God. It can't come near you in your relationship with God. It's the life with God that is being talked about. Pleasures, eternal pleasures at God's right hand. Fullness of joy with God in paradise. Walking with God here and now, and when we die, our soul's going to be with Jesus. And later, when Jesus coming back, our bodies rising from the grave and reuniting with our souls and going to be with God forever in the new creation, that eternal inheritance that we have in Jesus. Nothing can come near you in that life that you have with God. No plague can enter your tent in terms of that true eternal life you have with God in Christ. And that's what the psalm's talking about. Look at the last verse. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And if you listen to that video I sent out of the Sons of Korah from Australia singing Psalm 91, how they emphasized that last verse, long, long, long eternal life. And they've captured that rightly. That's what the psalm is talking about. Nothing can touch you in that life that you already enjoy now as a Christian walking with God. Nobody can touch your life with God. It's out of reach from the evil one and every danger in this world. God has put you out of reach. Jesus has purchased his life, your life, with his precious blood. And that's a value that can't be tampered with. The Holy Spirit seals you with his divine power, and he is unconquerable. He's invincible when he lives in you. So you have an inheritance, says Peter, that can never perish, spoil, or fade away, kept in heaven for you who by faith are shielded by the power of God for salvation, ready to be revealed, 1 Peter 1. And so Paul says too, these dangers are attacking us. They're killing us all day long. And he's talking about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. But then he says, in all these dangers, even if they kill us, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In Christ, we destroy them, even if they kill us, as we still have our life with God. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor viruses, nor anything else in all creation, fluctuating stock markets, these will not be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the powerful safety we need. If you don't have that, then all you have is the stocks and your health. And if you lose them, you've got nothing left. Nothing. See, if your life is measured in terms of earthly wealth and health and power, these are fleeting things, and they cannot give you true life. And when they're gone, where's your purpose? But in God, we have purpose, we have joy, we have hope, we have a future. And God is calling us today to look at Christ, to see why his power makes you so safe. All the danger, disease, and death we deserve for our disobedience and our rebellion against God. All the trouble, the viruses, and suffering that came into this world as a result of our sin. God has taken that and put that on his son. They're all aspects of the curse that came into the world when sin entered the world through our first parents, Adam and Eve, and we in them. He's taken all that curse and he's put that on his son. And Jesus described his love for sinners as that of a hen who takes his wings and spreads it over his chicks. That's a picture of the cross as he spread out his arms on the cross and perished under the curse for our sin to protect his little ones. Everyone who runs to Jesus Christ will find that perfect, powerful refuge. He was nailed to a tree and perished in our place so we can live forever. And you know that promise in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. What a great and gracious God who would provide such a refuge for us. One more thing, the psalm ends with the promise of safety, the place of safety, the power of God's safety, and then the promise. It's such a beautiful ending, verses 14 through 16. Children, I think that we ought to add this to your Sunday school memory work, don't you? Of course you do, because these verses are so good. So, Mrs. DeBoer, we're going to add this to the list, okay, for later. Let's read it together, verses 14 through 16. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. This is God speaking now. At the end of the psalm, God steps in and speaks directly to his children. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's reread verse 16 in a different way. With long, long, long eternal life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because that's the kind of long life we're talking about here. There's two things in these last three verses, a call to trust and a package of God's promises. Three calls to trust and eight promises. Here are the three expressions of trust. Because he holds fast to me in love. That's what it means to trust in God. I cling to him. It's the word used for marriage. I cling to him. I hold fast to him. I cleave to him. I set my heart on him. I make him my God. I won't let go. That's what that means. I won't let go because you're my life. You're my hope. You're my all in all. That's faith. I give up on myself because he knows my name. It's the second expression of faith. I will deliver him. I will protect him. To know his name means I've studied him in the Bible. I'm convinced he's worthy of my trust and that I need his help, and no other help will do it for my life. Because he knows my name. This is the name of the only one who can save. The one who made heaven and earth and everything in them and sent his son to die for my sin and save me, rescue me, and his spirit to fill me and bring me to glory. And the third expression of faith, call to him. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. It's to run to him and lay down your life before him and give your life to him in prayer for safety. I surrender my life to you. I give up on me. I give up on anybody else in this earth. Even the kindest, most loving and strong person isn't kind, loving, and strong enough to take care of the safety that I'm really in need of. Only you are. I call to him. And then we have eight promises. Promises of God for all who trust in him. Number one, I will deliver him. Number two, I will protect him. Number three, I will answer him. Number four, I'll be with him in trouble. Isn't that great? With him in trouble. Number five, I'll rescue him. Number six, I will honor him. Number seven, I'll satisfy him with long life. Number eight, I will show him my salvation. Wow, that's the safest place in the world for your life right now and all the time, virus or no. With God, these promises are all yours, brothers and sisters. They're life. Nobody can take them away from you. Jesus paid for them with his own life. They can't lose their value or power because Jesus is the Son of God. And you are immortal when you are in God. Even if you die, you will live. Got that? You're immortal when you're in God. Even if you die, you will live. Without God, you can't live. You might beat the virus. You might beat the market losses. But you can't beat death. You can't beat the curse. It's going to take you one way or another. The wages of sin is death. You're not safe no matter how well you're doing. Don't go another day without this God. You could be in the ICU tomorrow, even if you're young. Without God, you cannot live. But with God, you cannot die. Even if you die physically, your life is still hidden with Christ in God. And he will raise you up at the last day. With God, the plague can't touch you. Even if you're in the ICU right now, like Sabino and Martin. In conclusion, somebody asked me this past week, are your people safe? I said, I think they are. They're being careful, taking precautions, at least in the physical sense. But there's an aspect to this question that only you can answer. Are you really safe? Have you run to the Lord God for refuge? Where's your life? Where's your life at right now? Take the example of this psalmist. See the truth about your own need and say with verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Make him your trust today and every day. Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Let's sing that hymn together, 476, and then we'll have our closing prayer. 476, it is well with my soul. And that'll be live streamed to you, and you can sing along. It's 445 in the old blue songbooks, 476 in the Trinity Psalter hymnal. Together. Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, this brings us to the end of our live stream service. We'll have closing prayer in a moment. I hope you were able to put up with the unnatural feel of this. I felt a little unnatural. I pray that God's word has been a blessing for you. We hope to reconvene at 3 o'clock and look at the Good Shepherd who came to lay down his life for us in a series leading up to Good Friday and Easter. And Lord willing, at 3 o'clock, we'll meet again to open God's word from John 10, verses 1 through 13. And let's pray together that the Lord will go with us and bless us and continue to be with us on this Lord's Day. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we praise you that because of your grace shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, peace flows over our lives like a river. We can say, it is well with my soul. We can say that in the power of the Spirit. Give each of us that faith to hold fast to you in love, to know your name and call upon your name. Go with us into the rest of this Lord's Day. Be with us, strengthen us. May the love of our God surround us and shield us. Bring us back together again, Lord. Connect us via live stream again at 3 o'clock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.